I broke something already. We're breaking strings, we're breaking stands, we're just breaking all kinds of stuff. Well, yes, we are deep into the summer, aren't we? We're getting close to fall. It felt like fall out there today, and that might make some of you sad. It makes me happy, I'm not going to lie. I like fall, I like winter. So you can be joyful for me as we head into this. But what we're doing here this summer, we've been walking through a series all summer long, and what we've been doing is going through the Old Testament and looking at these stories from the Old Testament that you've probably heard before. But we're looking at them maybe in a little bit of different light, and we're calling it Sunday School Revisited because we're looking at stories that probably we can remember from Sunday school. But we're looking at them in light of what is God going to tell us now as adults, and recognizing that all of these stories aren't just kind of standalone things. They're all part of a much bigger picture, and God has been working in human history from the beginning of time right up to the end of time, and you and I are part of that. We're in that flow of human history, and so all of these stories really are part of our history. They speak to us. God uses them to talk to us about how we live our life now, how we see ourselves now. So that's what we've been doing here for the last, several weeks. We only have 2 weeks left, tonight and next week. Then we're done with this summer series. So I'm going to, tonight we're up to Daniel. Now Daniel is a guy that, again, the thing that you probably remember about Daniel is Daniel what? Daniel in the lion's den, right. That's the story that you probably remember from Sunday school, where Daniel gets thrown into the lion's den, and God protects him. And I'm actually teaching Sunday school on Sunday, and we're gonna read that story to the kids. But I'm gonna just very 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 briefly talk about Daniel, he starts off. We see Daniel, where he's being taken out of Jerusalem. What had happened here at this point in the story of the Old Testament is the nation of Israel had been, for many, many hundreds of years, had been turning away from God more and more and more. And all these different kings had come, and God had sent the prophets to them, trying to bring them back. We talked about that last week with Elijah, how God kept sending these prophets and saying, hey, return to me, return to me, and the people wouldn't do it. And so finally, God had warned them again and again and again, if you keep turning away from me, there's going to be a discipline, there's going to be a consequence, and it's going to be terrible and severe. Well, here we're at the point in Israel's history, in our history, where that severe, terrible consequence has happened, and God has sent another nation to militarily take over all of Israel. And Daniel was a young man who was in Israel when his country was taken over, and it was just overpowered by an invading army, and as what happened in those times is the invading armies would do one of three things generally with the people in the land. They would kill many of them, just routinely. They would take prisoners and they would kill them. Many they would take as exiles to their country. They'd bring them back to their country to serve as slaves or servants. Or some they would leave in the land to plant the vineyards and stuff so that the people could grow the crops and then send them back to this king that had taken over. So that's what's happened to Israel at this point. They've been taken over by a foreign nation completely. For all intents and purposes, Israel has ceased to exist as a nation. That's where Daniel is a young boy in that time frame. He's one that middle thing happens. He doesn't get killed. He doesn't get left in the land. He gets taken back. He's taken into exile, where in essence he's taken captive, and he's marched back to the country of Babylon, where he is going to be now a slave or something. He's under the control of the Babylonians. So he gets back to Babylon, and then Daniel is a man who, even as a young man, he's very skilled. God has his hand on him, and Daniel begins to get roles in the government. He's given these different roles. It starts off just he's a servant to some of the officials. And then he kind of works his way up till he's a servant of a king. And Daniel eventually ends up serving four different kings who the kings kind of come and go, but Daniel stays there. And he's this high official in four separate kingdoms. And he has his ups and downs, but he kind of perseveres and lasts here in Babylon for a long, long time. About 60 to 70 years, Daniel is living in Babylon. So he has this rise, and then things go well and not so well under one of the kings much later in Daniel's life when he's a much older man. That's where the story of the lion's den comes in, where one of these kings decides, you know what, we're going to have a law where for 30 days no one can pray to anyone except to me. And when you're a king, I guess you can do that. You can say, I want you to pray to me. I don't know if he thought he could answer the prayers. I really wonder what the king thought was going to happen, if he'd hear him or what. But anyhow, he made a law that said, you can't pray to any god, you can only pray to me. Well, Daniel prayed every day, not to the king, prayed to God, to the God that had created him, to the God that we serve, to the God that was walking Daniel through history. He prayed to that God. The king was forced to throw Daniel into the lion's den, and that's that story where we see that happen. And Daniel, in essence, gets the death sentence for refusing to turn his back on God, for refusing to dishonor God by worshiping a man. Gets thrown into the lion's den, but God protects him, and the lions don't eat him. And he spends the night there in the lion's den, and the king comes the next morning and says, Daniel, how are you? Didn't say that probably, but Daniel's fine, and Daniel comes out, and that's the famous story, and then Daniel kind of disappears from the scene. We don't know what happens to Daniel at the end of his life. We know this, that God talks about Daniel as one of the great men of the faith. God talks about Daniel as one of the great men that are lifted up to us. There's a verse in Ezekiel, another prophet, where God says, hey, you know what? Daniel and Noah and Job and Moses, he kind of lumps Daniel in with these great men of the faith. And so that's very briefly what the story of Daniel is like. But we're not going to focus on that. We're going to look at something about Daniel's life that I think hopefully is meaningful to us today. And that's this, that all of that, that whole story of Daniel and his rise in Babylon and these exploits that he did and the prophecies that he made and God's recognition of him, all of that started with the death of all of Daniel's dreams. That's what we're going to talk here about tonight. Daniel, the death of a dream. Because that's really the beginning of the story. The first thing we see about Daniel is just that. His dreams are shattered. His dreams die. And he has no hope of them resurrecting. I want to read here a little bit in the book of Daniel. This is way back toward the end of the Old Testament. We're getting toward the end here. But I'm going to read just a little bit here in Daniel chapter 1 because we see that happening. Here we go. It says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylon and put them in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered some guy that I can't pronounce his name, chief of his court officials, to bring in some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that they were to enter the king's service. Among these were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names. To Daniel, the name Belteshazzar, something, and to the other guys, some other names that nobody knows. Here's the point to that. Daniel is a young man. It says in there that he's part of the nobility. He's of good birth. He's a man, a young man, probably a teenager at this point, of high standing. He has wealth. He has a future in front of him. He's he's a man that is going somewhere in Judah, in the nation of Israel, and all of it is taken away. Think about the things that for this teenage boy were taken away from him in a heartbeat, in an instant. God's nation was handed over to the pagans. All of Daniel's life, he had been told, Israel is God's chosen people. This, the nation of Israel, Abraham's descendants, we are God's chosen people. We have a special place in the world. His entire national identity was tied up in the fact that God is going to use us to change the world, and that is stripped away because they are overrun by a pagan country, beaten, humiliated, crushed, taken into exile. His nation, God's people, ceased to exist. And what he's been told all his life, this is who you are. You're a Jew. You're an Israelite. God's going to use you. That is suddenly gone because his nation is gone. He's exiled, taken away from his family. This young man probably never saw his mother and father and his brothers and sisters again. Almost certainly, many of them were killed. But when they came to Babylon, he almost certainly never saw any of them again. I don't know what his relationship with his family was, but as a teenager, to be torn apart from them, ripped apart forcefully, he did not expect that in his life. Nobody does. And yet that happened to Daniel. He was royalty. He was looking forward to, in his life, he was looking forward to being an important person. He was a teenage boy who had a bright future ahead of him, and suddenly all he sees in front of him is slavery, because when he gets taken to Babylon, that's all they take them there for. Take them there to be slaves. It's interesting, Daniel, it says that they were looking for young men with ability, and they chose Daniel. Well, Daniel was a man who probably had dreams about what he was going to accomplish in life. It says that he was skilled, he had understanding, he was just you look at him and think, wow, this is a guy that's going to go somewhere. And now all of a sudden, he can't accomplish anything for himself because his entire life is directed by someone else, and all of his skills can no longer go toward furthering his own life, benefiting himself, all the things that he would have done with his life to benefit himself, to benefit the people around him, the choices he would have made, they're gone. He has none. All of his skills now, if they're going to get used, are going to be used at someone else's direction for someone else's benefit. He's a slave. He's a servant. He went from royalty to a servant in an instant. And it gets worse, because almost certainly Daniel, when they took him there and put him in the king's palace, he was castrated. That's what they did to young men when they were exiled, when they were foreigners and they were going to serve in the king's palace. That was just the standard practice all throughout that part of the world. Daniel, as a teenage boy, was probably castrated. No chance of ever having a family. Gone. And just, he had no choice in any of this. It was just thrust on him. He was a little kid. He hadn't sinned. Why did all of this stuff happen to him? And everything that this boy had looked forward to in his life, I think, instantly was gone. And he was thrust into a situation that had to be, it was humiliating to him. It must have been, when he looked at it in the cold, hard light of reality, just filled with despair. I think that's how Daniel's story started. His dreams died. And he watched them die, and there was nothing he could do about it. And the reason I think that this story is good for us to look at is because this is going to happen to you and I. And I don't want to be overly dramatic here, but I believe that it's true, that all of us are going to deal with this to some degree. The death of our dreams. Maybe to the degree that Daniel did. Maybe to a lesser degree, maybe in different degrees. And it happens in different ways. Sometimes our dreams die because of circumstances. Things just happen that we didn't expect and we had no control over, and it changes what we expected was going to happen in our life. My dreams, my understanding of what a family was going to look like was changed radically when Sue and I discovered that we had severe medical issues that was going to change our family. And And we just had to deal with a reality that I had no idea was there and that I didn't like, and there's nothing I could do about it. But some of the dreams that I had for, some of the things I thought were going to happen to me didn't happen because we discovered that I had infertility issues, and that was hard. It wasn't a choice anyone made, it just is circumstance. That happens to us sometimes. Sometimes our dreams die because of choices that we make. I can remember very clearly, you know, we choose what we're going to do in life, and I can remember very clearly coming to the realization that for much of my life, what I wanted to do was just live in the mountains, hunt and fish, kind of be a mountain man. And that may seem funny to you, but for me, it was truly what I longed for. It's what I saw myself as. I'm not a city guy. I'm a woodsman, and that's who I am, and that's how I identified myself. And I can remember very clearly standing in Madison, Wisconsin, on State Street, and recognizing, you know what? God, you're asking me to do something else. You're asking me to live where people are and to give my life to people, not to something else. And that dream of being a mountain man died because I chose to kill it. And that happens sometimes. Sometimes our dreams die because of the things other people do. People around us fail us. People around us hurt us. And we have expectations of what things are going to happen. We have expectations of our children, of our spouse, of our family, of our loved ones. We have expectations, and people fail us. And those dreams that we had for these relationships, these dreams that we had for the future, die because people make bad choices and people fail us. All of these things happen to us. You and I are, this is going to happen to us in big ways, in small ways, but the world that we live in is a world where dreams die. And that's what happened to Daniel. But it's interesting what Daniel's response to that was. What Daniel's response to his dreams dying was. And I want to look at it here a little bit. How did Daniel respond to that? What did he do? Well, right away here in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, right, all of this is laid out, and all of the horrible things that have been thrust upon him have been laid out to us. And it says this in chapter 1, verse 8, but Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. And he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and sympathy to Daniel. Daniel, what he said there is, you know what? God says I'm not supposed to eat this food that you're giving me, so I don't want to eat it. It's so interesting. Daniel could have said, and forgive my language, but he could have said, screw God. Where was he when all this crap was happening to me? Where was God when my family was getting killed? Where was God when they were castrating me? Where was God when I was taken away and I was made a slave? Where was God then? Why should I do anything for God? What has God done for me? He could have said that. You know what this young man said instead? He said, I'm not going to abandon God. I am not going to turn my back on God. I am not angry with God. I am still God's. It's remarkable. This young man said, I am still God's, and he has a call on my life, and I'm going to try to obey him. And he did. Oh, God doesn't want me to eat this food. Can you please give me other food? He didn't abandon God. He didn't get angry at God. He didn't blame God for what happened to him. One of the ways he responded. Here in Daniel chapter 6, we see another part, another way that Daniel responded. Chapter 6, verse 10. This is many years later, but this lays out kind of how Daniel lived his life. It says, now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, this is the decree that you can't pray to anyone but to this king. When Daniel learned that that decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Remarkable. for many, many years. It says, just as he has done before, Daniel again and again and again, every day, paid three times a day to God. Even though he's living his life in this state of slavery, in this state of servitude, he stayed connected to God. Not only did he not blame God, not only did he not abandon God, he stayed connected to God. He kept pursuing God in the midst of this, in the midst of his dreams crashing around him. He stayed connected. He pursued God, and he was thankful, thanking his God. Thank you, God. And he was seeing things to be thankful for, and he didn't quit. He did this for a long time, for 70 years, 60, 70 years. He did this every day. It's an amazing thing when you think about it. His response, Daniel's response to his dreams dying, well, he stayed connected to God. He sought God. He pursued God. He thanked God for what he could be thankful for. He didn't blame God. He recognized he was still God's, and he pursued that. He didn't quit. He didn't give up on God. He just pursued God diligently, faithfully, again and again and again. And what's the result of that? Just briefly. Well, you see, Daniel's life turn out in some really, really good ways. God says amazing things about Daniel. I'm going to read just a few verses here. Daniel chapter 9, verse 23. God sends an angel to Daniel. Never happened to me. Daniel was praying, and God sent an angel. And this is what the angel said. Well, in verse 22, Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you began to pray, an answer was given, which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider the message and understand the vision. Wow. God sent an angel to tell Daniel, hey, you prayed, and you're highly esteemed, Daniel. God notices. God sees you, and heaven notices you. Heaven sees you, Daniel. You are highly esteemed. In verse 10, similar thing. Verse 11 and 12, here are verse 10. Same thing, an angel comes. And this angel said, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you and stand up, for I have now been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. Then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. Heaven moved at this man's request. Interesting. From the second he started to pray, his words were heard. Something happened. And he says, but the prince, this angel says, I've come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes in heaven, came to help me because I was retained there. My goodness, Daniel prayed, and there was a war in heaven because God was going to answer this man's prayer. And the devil tried to stop him, and there was this fight, and angels were getting involved. This man was highly esteemed. This man, when he prayed, heavens moved. That's what it says about Daniel here. A few verses later, the angel still speaking, do not be afraid, O man highly esteemed. He said, peace, be strong now, be strong. And he says, I will tell you first what is written in the book of truth. God took Daniel into his confidence. God sent the angels to say, Daniel, I want you to know what's on my mind. I want you to understand what I'm thinking. I'm going to tell you things that are going to happen. It's important to me, Daniel, that you understand what's going on. God took Daniel into his confidence. That's the result of this man. This man who, as a young boy, his dreams were shattered. But in response to that, he did not lose his identity as God's child. And he pursued God. And he sought God through the heartbreak, through the anguish that I'm not saying he didn't bother him. I'm sure it broke his heart. I'm sure he wept. I'm sure his entire life was just, he was confused. But he did not abandon God. He sought God. He pursued God. He didn't quit. He was thankful. He was connected to his God. And as a result, heaven moved when he spoke. God's eye was on him. God spoke to him in amazing ways. Now, it's easy to think, I think sometimes, it's easy for us to look at a story like that and say, wow, Daniel was something else. You know, Daniel was just different than you and I. I don't think he is. I don't think Daniel is any different than you and I. Because we can respond the same way Daniel did. What he did doesn't take magic, doesn't take anything other than a couple choices by us. And I think I want to end with just reading a couple of psalms, or a couple of verses in the psalms, and we're going to read some psalms here in a minute, because I think these psalms catch the heart of what you and I can do, how it was that Daniel was able to respond that way, and how you and I can respond that way. When our dreams are shattered, when we're confused, when we don't know why things are happening to us, when the things we expected to happen are not happening, when the circumstances around us are difficult and hard, when the people around us are failing us, when our dreams are dying, we can respond the same way that Daniel did. We cannot get angry at God. We can tell God what's on our heart, but we can pursue Him and seek Him. We can be thankful to God. And I think about just a couple verses here I'm going to read, and then I'll get off the stage, and we're going to let people come up and read some whole psalms that I think speak to this. But here's one. It's in Psalm 37, verse 4. It says this: "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Here's what I do with that verse. I look at that verse, and I say, what's my part, and what's God's part? And I'm going to do my part, and I'm going to let God do His part when and how He sees fit. What's my part in this verse? Delight myself in the Lord. God, I'm going to be a good son. I'm going to obey You as much as I can. I'm going to come to You and talk to You regularly because I know You want that. I'm going to be as good a son, as good a friend, as good a servant for You as I possibly can. I'm going to work really hard to make You delighted in me. That's my part. And then God's part is when and how He sees fit, He will give me the desires of my heart. My role is not to make sure I get my heart's desires met, is it? It's not my role. It's not what God asked me to do here. He says, Rob, You delight Yourself in me, and You watch how I delight You. I like that verse, because whether it seems right now like my dreams are being met or not, whether it seems right now like my heart's desires are being fulfilled or not, I can delight myself in You, God, because that's what I'm supposed to do. So I'm going to do that. I can do that. Daniel did that. You can do that. Regardless of what your circumstances are, regardless of what expectations are not being met, regardless of what the people around you are doing, regardless of the poor choices you may have just made right now, this instant going forward, I can say, God, I want to delight myself in You. And if it means coming to You humbly and repenting and acknowledging my sin, God, that's what I'm going to do. If it means going and acknowledging it to someone else, God, that's what I'm going to do. If it means obeying in this thing that You've been asking me to do, God, that's what I'm going to do. If it means fighting this sin that I've just been struggling with, God, I'm going to fight it. That's what I'm going to do. I am working hard. Today, right now, I am pouring my effort and energy not in getting my dreams met, but in delighting myself in You, God, and You'll meet my dreams. That's what that verse says. Oh, what an unbelievable promise. I think that's what Daniel did. We can do that. And I like this verse in Psalm 16. It says, Lord, You alone are my inheritance, my cup of blessing. You guard all that is mine. The land You have given me is a pleasant land. What a wonderful inheritance. I can work hard at looking around and being thankful for what I have. The things God has given me, well, that's what You want me to have. God, You're going to make sure that I get the things You want me to have. You're going to guard it. These things that You're giving me, You're going to guard them. You're going to make sure no one can steal it away from me. If You want me to have this, God, You're going to give it to me. And the things You have given me, they're pleasant. They're wonderful. It's my inheritance. I'm going to cultivate a mindset of being thankful. And I'm just like Daniel, this man who had lived alone, torn apart from his country, forced into slavery, every day, three times a day, got down on his knees and said, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Oh, Lord, thank you that you're my God. Thank you that you are strong. Thank you that you created me. Thank you, God, that you have given me an opportunity to have influence." And Daniel did have influence. Thank you, God, that I can know you. I can be connected to you. He had so much to be thankful for. And if he focused on the death of his dreams, he would not have been thankful. So he didn't focus there. He didn't just ignore it. He recognized it. But he talked to God about it. And God, I still have you. And God, you're better than anything I could have had back home. I'm so grateful. I can do that. I can do that. In this world, our dreams die. But very often, just like Daniel, the death of our dreams, what it does is it opens the door for us to recognize that the thing that I really long for, the thing that I really, truly desire, the greater dream, the most powerful yearning and longing in my soul, the thing that when it comes right down to it, I dream of and long for more than anything else, God, it's you. And no one can take that away. And no person can take that away. And no choice of mine can mess that up. God, you are here and I am yours. And that is the greatest fulfillment of any dream I could ever have. But sometimes it takes our other dreams dying for us to see that. And I'm grateful that God has seen fit to kill many of my dreams. Not because it's fun, but because he has something better for me. And if your dreams die, it is not because God hates you or abandoned you. It's because God has something better for you. And you can find him in the midst of it, just like Daniel did. Lord, I'm just so glad that you can do things for us, Lord, and with us and in us that this world just can't do. And God, just thankful, God, that in a world that crushes our dreams at times, you don't. You long to give us the desires of our heart. And I thank you, God, that you're more powerful than the world around us. And Lord, it's hard for us to see sometimes, and we need clarity, we need understanding to recognize and to see your hand in the midst of these difficult times. But I just pray, Lord, that we would persevere with you, just like Daniel, when we're tempted to turn our back and we're tempted to be angry, instead we seek you harder, we pursue you more fiercely. I just pray that that would be true, Lord, of each one of us. Thank you that you know every circumstance we're in, God. You know what we're facing. You know what dreams of ours have died or which ones will. And that pain, Lord, some of us, it's a pain that only we know, except you. You know it as well. And in the midst of it, God, you draw us close and you open our eyes to new things. And I just long for that for myself and for each one of us here, Lord. Help us to go there. In Jesus' name, amen.